Good evening, friends. This is the anniversary of a great day in American history, the 19th of April, 1775. It was the day on which Paul Revere and Thomas Dawes roused the Massachusetts farmers, the day on which the first shots of the American Revolution were fired. Longfellow's famous poem, entitled The 18th of April, 75, contained a number of historical inaccuracies, and around the events of the day, as around those of other momentous days in our history, a great many myths and legends have grown up. One of these has to do with what happened at Lexington that morning. Many of you probably have seen the famous painting by Henry Sandham called The Dawn of Liberty. It shows in progress at Lexington a full-fledged battle, with the American patriots firing volleys at the British and resisting stoutly. Now, Sandham painted that scene in 1886, 111 years after the event depicted. He was not the first artist to attempt to portray what happened on Lexington Green that fateful morning. In fact, a man named Doolittle drew a picture of the affair the year it happened, 1775. But that picture is much different from the one painted by Sandham in 1886. It shows the British firing a volley and the patriots dispersing in all directions without any show of resistance. In 1832, another portrayal of the event shows a few patriots returning the fire. Still another, done about 1855, portrays quite a lively skirmish in progress. And then in 1886, Sandham's picture is the one of a hot battle going on with neither side giving way. On the basis of these pictures, quite a dispute has grown up between Lexington and Concord as to whether the first battle of the Revolution was fought at Lexington or at Concord. The Concord rooters claim that there wasn't really a battle at Lexington at all, that the first battle was actually fought at Concord a little later. It is fairly clear that this is what happened. Captain Parker gathered his 60 or 70 men at Lexington and was debating just what he should do when the British, 700 strong, came along. They were going to Concord to break up a store of arms, which they heard had been gathered there by the patriots. The British came up and Major Pitcairn ordered Parker's men to disperse. And then someone got excited, maybe a patriot, maybe a Britisher, no one knows, and fired a shot. Several others followed, and the patriots dispersed. But they reassembled to harass the British on their return after the repulse at Concord Bridge. They were no cowards, these men of Lexington, but it would have been the sheerest folly for these 60 or 70 men to resist a force 10 times greater in an open field. There was enough glory and honor on the patriot side that day, but not enough to suit the myth makers. To serve the cause of patriotism, they thought they had to distort the truth about what happened on Lexington Green and make a battle out of something that fell far short of a battle. This is by no means an isolated instance of this sort of thing. The historian Jared Sparks, when he edited the letters of Washington for publication, felt that it was his duty to correct the spelling and grammar of the father of our country. And this sort of thing isn't confined to the past either. Government officials in Washington today feel they have to distort the truth in order to make any impression on the American people. If it is wise to strengthen our defenses, for example, they feel that it's necessary to give the impression that war is imminent. No one needs to be ashamed of this country, of either its past or its present policies. Of course, we have made mistakes, but we've also had great ideals and high courage. The truth is good enough. Good night.